Good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. Not everyone's week turned out the way it was planned. I think it was David that said there's but a step between me and death, and that might be a step into the skitter cab, or it might be a step from a cow, or it might be who knows what for each of us. And I think it's simply important that we each think seriously about life, and when there's these times that affect us closely, that we take time to consider our lives and eternity and the realities of life and death. In Mark 6, there where Jesus heard about John being beheaded, it says the apostles gathered together unto Jesus and told him all things. And he said unto them, come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So even Jesus was affected by death and wanted to go apart, and he changed his plans and was moved by these people, and he took the opportunity to teach them. So my plans changed a little bit this morning as well. We enjoyed a weekend at Roosevelt last weekend, and I was planning to share what I'd shared there. And these things came up yesterday, and I got up this morning to review that message and plan for today, and it just didn't seem fitting and appropriate, so we'll maybe share that some other time. But I simply decided to look at some promises in the Bible, and it already touched on some of this, and some of the songs touched on it, but I'd like to just simply find some promises, and if you think of any, that there's plenty more that I didn't get, but if you think of some you'd like to share, there'll probably be some time at the end to for you to share as well. So we'll just start. As I said, this isn't near all of them, but I'd like to look in 2 Kings chapter 3. This is the first one. Elisha was ministering in this area, and there was a great need. And in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 16, this is Elisha. In verse 16 through 18, and Elisha said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hands. And then it goes on, and the next morning the water came out of Edom. There was no rain, no storm, but the country was filled with water. And then the Moabites were on the other side, and they got up in early in the morning, and the sun shone on that water, and it looked like blood. And it goes on, and there was a great victory there for the people of God. God provided water, and he said, it is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. The next one I have is in 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles 14, this is Asa's prayer in verse 9 through 12. The Ethiopians came with the host of 1,000, 300 chariots, and Asa went out against him. And then in verse 11 it says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee." So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. It is nothing before the Lord, whether to help with many or few, if our rest and hope is in the Lord. The next one is on Asa as well in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." Let's turn over to Esther chapter 4 next. Here's a young woman who was, her people were supposed to be destroyed. In Esther chapter 4, Esther chapter 4, verse 13 through 17, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knowest whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Who knows whether thou art called to the kingdom for such a time as this? Job chapter 1. We know the story of Job and his Satan coming before God and wanting to destroy or take Job's things and his health, and God allowed that. In Job 1, verse 20. "Then Job arose," okay, after Job's afflictions and he was, his things were taken away. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly." In spite of Job's afflictions, he recognized that God had given him everything he had, and if God wanted to take it away, that was up to God. And in all that, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. And then Satan said, "Well, okay, I'm going to take his health too." And so God allowed Satan to afflict him physically. He said, "Just don't take his life." And so he was stricken with boils and and was very miserable. And then verse 9 and 10, it says, "Then said Job's wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips." Turn to Psalm 16. We'll look at a number of verses in the Psalms here. It's a promise of God preserving his people. Psalm 16, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Psalm 27. Psalm 27, I would like to, for us, anyone who can, to stand, and we'll say verses 1 through 11, we'll say together, we'll recite together. Most of us probably have learned this by memory at some point. You can stand. So Psalm 27, 1 through 11, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Thank you. You can be seated. And verse 13 and 14, "Yet I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Psalm 34. I'll just just skim through some of these verses, not read all of them. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off from the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Okay, the next one is in Matthew. That one's Matthew 11. That one song we sang this morning had this verse at the top. Very familiar verses, but it is a promise that Jesus gave us no matter what we are facing. And there's some of these traumatic things like death and some of these other things that were grip us, but there's also emotional pain and other things that some of us face that maybe isn't as public, and this Jesus speaks to this as well. In Matthew 11, 28-30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Luke 11, Luke chapter 11, another promise of Jesus. Luke 11, verse 9 through 13, Jesus said, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And then let's jump to verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Romans 2, verse 4. we don't always understand why God brings into our lives what he does. And this verse is talking about that. Romans 2, verse 4, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" In Romans 8. Romans 8, verses 18 through 39. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." Verse 24, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Second Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 18. We'll skip a few of these verses, starting at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies." Verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Doesn't seem but for a moment sometimes. Philippians 4, verse 19. very familiar verse, Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So he'll supply our needs according to what he has available for us. And that is unlimited. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And one more is in Revelation 21. This is a promise to anyone who overcomes. Revelation 21. We'll read verses 1 through 8. It gives a promise of if we're faithful and cling to God no matter what we face. And it also gives a very stark warning in the last verse we read. And so our lives, whenever we take our last step in life, we will find ourselves on one side or the other of this picture that's given here. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We are given a choice this morning. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. We can be God's sons. God will be our Father, or the other option in verse 8. The choice is ours. Let's kneel for prayer.
Family today. pray for Paul and his healing, and we pray for his salvation. And bless Jaron and Audie as they relate to Paul and help them to be an encouragement.